Well, good morning. Here we are, June 5th. Well, if we didn't remember, it's summer hours, 9 and 10. 9 o'clock for Sunday school, 10 o'clock for church. So keep that in mind. Today's lesson is why the Holy Spirit came. And of course, this is Pentecost Sunday. And the lesson is taken from John 14 and John 15 with a jump over to the book of Romans. So, the Holy Spirit. At the hospital there was always this, there were some individuals who were really into the, the atmosphere, the energy, there we go, the energy of the earth. And whenever you would talk about the Holy Spirit, and talk about God, they would automatically divert it to energy. That's the energy of the earth and the energy. No, it's not the energy. It is the person. And there's a big difference between the person of the Holy Spirit and Godhead, three persons yet one. And the Godhead and God himself, all three, are not influencers. They are people. They are persons, not people. They are personage. And so the Holy Spirit is not merely a force. You know, like Star Wars force. May the force be with you. There's all this good in the universe, and we've got to tap into it. No. The Holy Spirit is a person, and there's the good that we have in the universe, but it is God. It is not just a positive energy force. So, speaking theologically, the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, and we have different names that we have for the Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit of God. He is the Holy Spirit of God. He is the Spirit of adoption. He is the Spirit of the Son. And he is the Spirit of Christ. These are different names for the same personage. And it would be similar to, you know, dad, father, you know, grandfather, whatever. But it would be referring to the same person, but having a different title. So the scriptures talk to us about the personage of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead. And we find also that the scripture place him at the same level. So God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are three equal yet one. Now I know that, you know, there's those who say, how, that's impossible to understand. And so there's cults. And they divide, the cults take God the Father, and then you have God creating his Son, and then you have the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of God, which is, you know, the influencer. So in Christianity and in the proper doctrine of the church, is it's Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three distinct yet one person, the personage of God. Now, we often, you know, some say, well, how can you understand three things? Well, created in God's image, we are body, soul, and spirit. You have the, you know, some water. It is liquid, it is vapor, and it is solid. So you have three forms of the same thing. There are other illustrations that you have, but we find that because we can't put our minds around it or figure it out, doesn't mean that it's beyond understanding. So God has created, and, you know, Judaism, you know, has the Trinity, has God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, because they're looking for the Messiah, and things like that. So these religions, you know, if you want to know what a cult, the first sign of a cult is, what do they do with Jesus Christ, and what do they say of the Holy Spirit? The cult always makes God the Father created his Son, a creation, just like I am a father and I have a son. Well, no, it's not that way. And the Holy Spirit then works as a person, the personage. The Holy Spirit is affected as a person, and this is where we get the understanding of the Holy Spirit being a person, because the Holy Spirit can be blasphemed, the Holy Spirit can be lied to, The Spirit, the Holy Spirit can be grieved. So whenever we're thinking, you know, when people are, later on, we'll perhaps talk about it in this Sunday school lesson or maybe in the message, that the Holy Spirit has come to convict us of sin, and the conviction is like that which is in a courtroom, guilty, convicted, but also the Holy Spirit is there to convince us so that we, you know, he will lead us into all truth. So the Spirit convinces us. It's not man's argument. It's not my arguing with you until I browbeat you to the point of believing. No, the Holy Spirit brings the understanding of God to our hearts. His Spirit agrees with our spirit. Our spirit agrees with his spirit, with the Spirit of God. And in that agreement, we find this bonding that goes on, and we begin this process, which is a process of growth and development and drawing closer to God and, you know, understanding the Word and seeing how that Word is applied to our lives. And so God is in this process. So we are saved. We come to know Jesus Christ as our Savior when we confess our sin. So that is a spontaneous moment experience in which we are forgiven. Our name is written in God's book of life. But in the understanding of the Scriptures, in the understanding of the Word and of the doctrines and so on, it is a process. You know, it's a lifelong process. And it is the work of the Spirit to help us in that whole process to bring these things to life inside of us and in our life experiences. We find that the works of the Holy Spirit is that he, as we said, the Spirit is affected as a person is affected. He can be lied to, blasphemed, grieved. But we also know that Peter called the Holy Spirit, he called him God. So whenever we're praying, you know, God, and we say, God, we pray that you, you know, so we're praying to God, which is Jesus, and you know, and it is the Godhead. So when we name the mention of God, we pray that your blessing. So it's like an encompassing phrase, you know, God, God the Father. We don't have to say God the Father, you know, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, do that. You know, it's not like we have to divide our prayers into three categories, but we bring them to God and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it is in the name of Christ that we invoke everything that Jesus has taught us, everything that he is, the resurrection and the life. He is the one who died for our sins, so we are invoking or bringing to bear everything that Christ is for that prayer to be answered. And then we go on that the Holy Spirit, he is God, personally present in believers. So the Holy Spirit is personally present in us. So when we say that Jesus Christ, you know, we accept him as our Savior, that Jesus lives in our hearts, in our soul. Well, that is true. But also, the Holy Spirit is in our soul. He's in our hearts. So we find that it is this personal presence of the Spirit that convinces us. You know, we talked about conviction, but then there's the Holy Spirit convinces us or helps us to understand what the implications of the Word are and how that Word can be applied to our lives. So we find that believers are the temple of God. Now, in the Old Testament, we had God's presence descended upon the tabernacle. And it was a visible presence that came into the Holy of Holies, you know, the tabernacle that Moses built in the wilderness. And then also, whenever the temple itself was built, it was the sanctuary. It was considered where God's dwelling place was. And we come to find out, you know, we were studying Ezekiel, and that when the temple was destroyed and the It was tore down by the Babylonians, and the holy holies where God dwelt was destroyed. Well, the people felt, well, God's left him. God's no longer with us. But when Ezekiel had his visions, God was letting them know that he doesn't just dwell in a tabernacle. No physical place such as a building is capable of containing God. So he's letting them know, letting the people of Israel know that he is everywhere. He is there with them, and he's going to bring them back to Jerusalem. Well, whenever we are in the New Testament, that we as believers, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are God's dwelling place. So that's why when we say that we can never be anywhere that God is not, it is God is everywhere present, but when we go there, God goes with us. I won't go there. If we go, speed limit's 55 and we go 60, he gets out of the car. No. No. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. So we are the temple of God, and then we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit also has the divine attributes, that the attributes that are given to God are the same, God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That God is omnipresent, he's everywhere present, he's omnipotent, he's all-powerful, he is eternal, and he is a co-creator of the world. He's the co-creator of everything that we see and don't see. The Holy Spirit is divine because God is divine. So this world has never been without the Holy Spirit. Sometimes, we think of or have been, a question was brought up on our Bible study on Wednesday, that about Satan, and being cast out of the heavens, and the world is, he's the ruler of the world, only for a time being. Well, he can't kick God out. God is here, and there's a whole process of understanding that Satan's powers are limited, that and all of those things. But for us as believers, we represent God, and his Spirit is in us. So when we face difficulties, we need to be grounded in the understanding that God is there with us, in us facing the difficulties. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. So in convincing, convicting, in teaching, the Holy Spirit is there helping us to deal with everything that is coming at us in life. So when we look at this and we begin to focus on what God has accomplished, he accomplishes it in us, and he accomplishes it by the Spirit, by the working of the Holy Spirit in us. He is the revealer of truth. So, any questions? Keep those cards and letters coming. Right. Never said that we wouldn't have tests or trials or problems. He promised that he would never leave us in those situations. In the first part of our lesson, it's in John chapter 14. He says, in 14 verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. So Jesus is teaching his disciples on the final Passover. Now, this is probably 50 days before Pentecost, but this is close, the night in which he's betrayed. So he is there telling them that his commandments, if you love me, keep my commandments. His commandments include the moral teachings that Jesus has given to them while he was here on earth, but also the teachings included not committing adultery, loving your enemy, giving and praying in private, forgiving others, not loving money, not judging others, walking the narrow path, bearing good fruit, and we have all this plus many more. So the teachings that Jesus gives to us in the New Testament, you know, Sermon on the Mount and blessed is the man, blessed is the poor, you know, the Holy Spirit helps us to understand. And then when we are confronted with those things, when we're confronted with those situations, the Holy Spirit is there to help us not to break God's command. The Holy Spirit is there to help us live out the good fruit, not judging. You know, the Holy Spirit helps us in being able to to be able to speak up when we need to speak up and to be quiet when we need to be quiet. So if you love me, keep my commandments. So Jesus is letting us know that it's the Holy Spirit doing this, working this in our life. And then we move on to John 14, verses 16 through 18. And again, this is at the Passover, when Jesus, you know, before he takes communion, this is my body, this is my blood. So he says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Now, I remember the lessons we did years ago. Another comforter is meaning that Jesus will give to us one just like himself. So God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is telling us, God is telling us that if we have the Holy Spirit, it is as equal to having Jesus as having Jesus is equal to having the Spirit. So if we have God present in our life, we have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They are in our all equal, and one is not greater than the other. We mistakenly think that when Jesus talks about, I've not come to do my own will, but the will of my Father. All right, so Jesus is serving the Father. Then the Holy Spirit has come to reveal Jesus Christ. So we imagine while he is serving, therefore the one who is serving is lesser than the other. But Jesus said that he that is greatest among you, let him be the servant of all. So serving is actually a way of honoring the Godheads. They're honoring each other, and yet, so you know, giving to each other the same power and equality. So he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. So the Holy Spirit is eternal. There's that he's not going to leave us and, you know, abiding and getting and reaching heaven. I've used this that whenever people are, you know, they're talking about dying and so on, I said, well, the same presence you live with here on earth now is the same presence you're going to. You're not leaving the presence of God to go to the presence of God. You are, the presence of God is with you, and he will be with you as you transition from life to eternal life. You're never separated from God. So, I will abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. The Spirit of truth, Jesus says that I am the way, the truth, and the life. So the Holy Spirit will teach us about Jesus and his teachings and what it is to be a follower of Christ. He will teach us. And whom the world cannot receive, well, excuse me, the world is misled. The world can't make, excuse me, the world can't make good judgments. Got the hiccups. The world can't make good judgments because the God of this world is Satan, and Satan is the deceiver. And so people who don't understand the scriptures can't make good, sound judgments because they will make them based upon their understanding of life and their perspective of who they are and what's good for them. What else? We go on. Because he seeth not, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. The world can't see God. You know, God wants to reveal himself, but it's like their eyes are blinded, just like the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees. Whenever Jesus, you know, when he raised Lazarus from the dead, they're so blind, they're saying, we got to kill Lazarus also. It's like, what about the miracle of raising him from the dead? That doesn't matter. We got to get rid of Jesus, and we got to get rid of Lazarus now, because look what Jesus can do. And people were following Jesus because of Lazarus, so let's kill them both. You know, sound judgment. No, they don't have it. But you know him. You know God. You know him. Why? Because he dwells with you. He dwells with us. And so he's, you know, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So he is dwelling inside of us. And he affects how we think and see and feel about our life. You know, he will bring about those conclusions that we need to arrive at because he is there teaching us the truth. And then verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. Comfort has basically, it has two definitions. Comfort means to console those who are grieving, but also the comforter, somewhere in here, it talks about how that the comforter is also a teacher. He will lead us and teach us these truths. So being comforted is not only for our grief and our sorrow, but it is also comforting us by giving us the truth that we will, the basis of truth will be a stable platform for us to stand upon in life. So the Holy Spirit being our comforter, you know, teaching us and leading us into all truth, that truth becomes this platform of understanding. You know, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is an understanding of the truth of the Word of God. So that's the substance that we stand on. You know, Jesus, they used the illustration of the house built on the rock and a house built on the sand. Well, the Holy Spirit helps us to understand the truths of the gospel so that we can stand on the rock, Jesus Christ. Verse 1 of Acts chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And here this is emphasizing a couple of things. It was emphasizing the idea that we just went through Jesus in the Last Supper, and then we move 50 days down the line, so to speak, on down the calendar, and we come to Pentecost in chapter 2. And here we're seeing how that the other comforter that Jesus had promised comes. He comes. It is a distinct, there is a distinct departure of Jesus ascending into the Father, and there is a distinct coming of the Holy Spirit. Two individuals, yet one. And the Holy Spirit has come to glorify the Father and the Son, to empower the believers and to teach the believers and to lead the believers. So the day of Pentecost comes and they were all with one accord in one place, speaking of their unity. And suddenly there came the sound from heaven. And this is where we you know, it's like there's the sound, there's the seeing, and there's the experience. So when the Holy Spirit comes in this Pentecost, this day of celebration, we find that the Holy Spirit is not just someone who shows up quietly and, you know, I think the Spirit is with me. On Pentecost, it was a sound. It was the sound of a rushing wind, and it was louder than anything you can imagine, and, you know, sounded like a hurricane or something coming in the mighty wind and filled the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues. It was something they could see. There was a fire that didn't, you know, wasn't like a fireball that was burning up everybody and the building. It was the appearance of fire, which is like the Holy Spirit purifying. And it was the appearance of this fireball, but yet wasn't burning or consuming the building. And then the fireball separated, and it was there upon each one. And it says that it was like a cloven tongue. It was a tongue. It was being that the Spirit was something that was going to be verbally spoken of and initiated within the believer. So whenever we're talking about the presence of the Holy Spirit, it is an experience whereby we have one of the gifts of the Spirit operative in our life, where we are able to, it's called the prayer language. It is called our way of, when we don't know what to pray for, the Spirit bears witness with our, the Spirit prays for us, intercedes through us, and we can do that whenever we have our prayer language. As Paul says, I speak in tongues more than you all, that we have this experiential understanding about what happened at Pentecost still goes on in our life today. And so they heard, they saw, they experienced. This was Pentecost. So we teach and believe we can hear the God's word, we can hear the Spirit, as it were, impressing us, making us aware of the Holy Spirit's presence, and we can see the visible characteristic of it is that we are living out the strength of God, living out the presence of God in our life by living out the Word. The tongue is the instrument God used to the proclaiming the gospel and witnessing for Christ, is a direct link with the coming of the Spirit. So whenever we're talking about witnessing, we're talking about how that God will use us in our speech. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. So we're witnesses unto God by the work of the Spirit. I need to quit. We got church at 10. But we'll go on a couple more things. The Spirit helps believers. We talked about the Spirit being the teacher. John 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said to you. Now, so Jesus is helping the disciples know that, he's letting them know he is leaving, but he's also letting them know he is sending. I'm leaving, but I am sending one just like myself. And he will send him, and he will teach you all things. Now, the disciples, they're still at a loss as to what's going on. they're losing Jesus, and they don't know what's going to happen to them. So, but he's basically letting them know that the Spirit is going to be there not only to help them remember. See, the thing about the Holy Spirit and reading the Gospels and reading the New Testament and the Scriptures, that we are not reading, it's more than just reading history, it's reading about God, but also the Spirit helps us see that this history that is being spoken is a very real, relative word spoken to our life, that the Holy Spirit makes that real to us, that if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. So it's if that's just history, then we say, okay, confess your sins and, that's it. But if it's Spirit, it's God's Spirit is telling us, if you confess your sins, you are forgiven. So there is an experience of light, the removal of a heavy load of sin on our soul, and it's like I've been set free from my past or my loss. So that's not just wishful thinking, that is the Holy Spirit doing the work of God in our lives. And he will teach you all things, so that's just the beginning of our understanding, because that there's a heaven. And God is coming for us, and he will return for us, and the trump of God shall sound. So there is a hope of eternal life. And what else? That he will bring things to your remembrance is that he's letting the disciples know that the Holy Spirit will help them remember what he has said. That's why we have the New Testament, why we have the Gospels. So Jesus is letting the disciples know this. Now, they can't fathom it. They can't fathom what all this is, but when they sit down and when they are called to write, they now have this in the spirit in them, helping them to recall what God wants them to recall and to put on paper or papyri. John 16, I have yet many things to say to you, but ye cannot bear them now. Here's the great thing. I have many things to tell you, but you can't hear them yet. Well, Jesus is leaving. And he says, I'm going to tell you. Well, the Spirit is going to tell them. So one, just like myself, you know, it's important that I go away so that the Spirit can come. And the Spirit will come to teach us all of these things. And, you know, I have a lot of things I have to tell you yet, but I'm not going to be here to tell you that, but the Holy Spirit will be. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. So there's so much more for the disciples to know and to understand, but they can't get there yet because they haven't moved beyond the idea that Jesus is going to set up a kingdom and they're going to sit on his right hand and left. And it's after his death and resurrection and the coming of Pentecost that they will be able to see all of this and understand more completely what Jesus is telling them. And the Holy Spirit, he will not speak of himself. The Holy Spirit does not draw attention to himself. He will show you the things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it to you. The Spirit helps our infirmities because we don't know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit intercedes for us. You know, whenever we're frustrated or groaning or tears or whatever, and we direct those to God, it is the Spirit praying for us. God knows how to interpret the longings of our heart. And the Spirit moves us. Sometimes the Spirit is moving us. Not just the sorrow or the anxiousness, but the Spirit is moving us to bring this to God. And that becomes our prayer. And he that searches the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. God knows our heart. He knows what our intentions are. He knows the things that hurt us, and the things that hurt us hurt the Father. But when the Comforter has come, verse 26 of chapter 15, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth. So Jesus is, you know, sending the Spirit, one like myself. You're not losing anything because I'm not here. And ye shall bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. So the Spirit's going to pull this together, and what you have experienced with me, the Spirit is going to make and make real. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Well, if we look at that and say the prince of this world is judged, the devil and every demon in hell believes in God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They are terrified of what God will do, can do to them. So when we approach God and approach our life, we do not need to be in fear of the world around us and its judgments, because the Spirit of truth is in our hearts and lives, and the enemy of our soul is afraid to be in our presence. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. We find that it is the strength of the Spirit and the life of the Spirit that he gives to us that gives us this strength to go on every day. And he will see us through each of these problems and difficulties. So that's a brief encapsulation of why the Holy Spirit has come. God, we thank you The truth of your word is something only you can teach us. We pray that our hearts and minds would be open to your word and your spirit, because the spirit will not contradict the word, and the word will not contradict what the spirit teaches. So, Lord, help us to arrive at this understanding of the scriptures. Help us to understand that you will never leave us nor forsake us, and that by your might, it's not by might nor by power, but by your spirit, that things are accomplished. So we ask for you to anoint us with your spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Remember, next week there is no Sunday school. Next week there is no Sunday school, but the following week there will be. So...